Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Part two of Swanee and Friends. It's Leon Davis as our guest friend. He was awesome part one. And rightly so, we thought we'd press stop and have a bit of fun now because we've got heaps of listener questions that we put to both Leon and Swanee. We'll start off with this. From Mediocre Photographs, who officially has the slowest 2K time trial out of Dane and Leon?
Yeah, I'll take that.
The slowest. What did you run? What was, if you did, you did, if you broke, if you got around 7 the first day back, you were going all right.
Yeah, but you didn't want to go too fast because you had something, you needed something to improve on without breaking the sweat.
Exactly. All the kids that have come back first time, they ran like a PB. Well, you haven't got far to go.
If you
started slow, then you took knock 30, 40 seconds off. They're like, fuck, you've actually worked hard during during preseason. Everyone have a look at these boys, fucking come back in shape and they've worked hard. So there was a method behind the madness.
Definitely, yeah. You come back and run a PB, you had a shit preseason because you couldn't beat him.
Yeah, exactly.
Preseason. He's been flat.
Exactly. You need room.
You knock about 30 seconds off, you know, with a little bit of effort on the last lap, last 100.
Exactly. Yeah.
You go all right. So definitely methods of madness, that's for sure. So yeah, I think we'll collectively own that one.
This one's just for Dane from Lucinda. How much did Dane get paid to post about getting jabbed? Hashtag nothing's for nothing. So you got your shot during the week and a big Instagram reaction.
Have you been jabbed, Leon?
I have. Yeah, waiting on a second one.
So. Yeah, same. I've got Pfizer on Tuesday, I think. When did I get paid? No, I fucking wish I did. Where's everyone getting paid to get? No, I got a lollipop walking out the doctor's. My next one's in September. I didn't get paid, but I'll tell you what, fuck the comments, mate. The amount of comments you get underneath it, like, it's social media is such a weird thing. Like, I post something on like Instagram, like say the jab thing, which obviously is going to be fucking topical with people who are anti-vaxxers and stuff like that, or you post something stupid on Twitter, then you just put the app away. It's like a whole nother world just going ape shit. And then like you open it back up and there's like 1,000 comments. You're like, oh, I've completely forgotten about it. But people are still arguing over a post that I've talked about. It's like, it's weird. But do you honestly think the Vic government, do you reckon Dan Andrews is going to ring me and go, mate, here's some cash for you to post? Like, no. So I wish I got paid, but I didn't, unfortunately. I just, in the end, if people don't want to get vaccinated, I don't give a fuck. I just want to get back to being open. So if I don't know why they just don't say as of now, like, if your business is fully vaccinated, everyone works in it is vaccinated, you can open up. And the only people who are allowed in there, if you've been vaccinated, you watch everyone fucking run to get vaccinated. So I just want to be open. I just want our kids to be able to play in a park, Ralph.
Yeah, it's a good start. Absolutely.
Premier Dane Swan.
Well, listen, I'm not sure I could go any worse, Matt, in front of what's going on at the moment.
You give it a good go, that's for sure.
Exactly. How they think we can, this zero COVID's attainable is beyond me. But, what can you do?
This is from Jamie. Why did you retire, Leon? You were still a jet when you hung him up. And I'll just add to that. You were unique in that you made the All-Australian side in your last year.
a bit of contract stuff in that. But was happy to come back home, and my culture's always been at the forefront of what's most important to me and my family. So, I was looking forward to, well, I said I'd only stay the 2 years when I first got there, and then ended up staying 11. So when it was time to come home, it was, things had to work out contract-wise, which didn't. Made all Australian and played off in the granny and that kind of stuff. And was getting a kick here and there. So contract sort of broke down and Mick left and that kind of stuff as well. So I definitely wanted to stay. I know there's a lot of stuff about my decision to leave and that kind of stuff, but the contract side of it sort of didn't fall into place. And from that, I was looking forward to coming home once that broke down. So I know a lot of people said that I walked away and it was my decision to come home and for cultural reasons and all this kind of stuff. But at 30 and still chasing a premiership and obviously, didn't have one up until then. Was really a driving force for myself. So the contract stuff broke down. The main reason why I didn't stay. But then obviously with family and getting back home to my country and my culture and my connection and my old man was getting on a bit. He's getting older and that, and I wanted to learn whatever I could and everything I could culturally off him. He's a predominant elder of our community, so to have him to be my father and I can learn everything off him firsthand, it's something that I came home for. But definitely the contract stuff broke down and that played a big part of my return.
So Dane, that opens the door though. Did you consider Dane on that he'd have to be at the back of the field on all these time trials without you?
Yeah, it was a hard decision to leave him on his own down there. Heed had sort of tried to come in there, but he sort of went up to the middle of the pack too often. So we sort of kicked him out. We kicked him out. Told him he had to go a bit further up. So that was one of my big things that I almost stayed just because of that. I didn't want to leave him on his own down the back of the 2K.
It's a lonely experience, exactly.
Every year. You stand out even more.
From Phil and O'Fish, what's Leon up to these days?
Since I've come home, I've been doing some work in the mental health sector. Yep. A very important aspect to my community back home. We've had a few suicides from some young people in our community. So to my brother-in-law, Ricky, he works in mental health. So when I said I was moving home, he sort of offered an opportunity and took that up. And it's challenging, but anything that's going to help my community and my people, I'm really passionate about learning. So I'm in there doing what I can and learning what I can to help better my community and my people. So I'm doing that. Before that, I was a local justice worker over in Victoria down in Haywood, at Windamara Aboriginal Health Service. Helping First Nations people that are on orders and in contact with justice to help them get back connected to culture. Everything I do is has a cultural aspect to it. For mine, if my people are connected to their culture, it goes a long way to them living a healthy, balanced lifestyle. So I try my best to put that onto my nieces, nephews and family, but obviously the wider community as well. So through Stolen Generation and that kind of stuff, it's the link. There's a few missing links where our culture has been lost and our culture has not been passed down. So to get that back into my communities and my people is very, very important. So that's what I've been up to.
Couple here of I'll combine it from Cameron is Neon Leon the best player of all time to be dropped for a grand final in brackets? Yes. And from Xavier, Leon, what was the story behind what happened in that grand final?
Oh, I didn't get a kick in the first one. Pretty much. Swanee wouldn't kick it to me. That's what happened.
I didn't get much of it either.
Yeah. Look, it's just something that when Mick rang me, I sort of was half waiting for the phone call anyways. I knew in myself that, I didn't do enough in the first one. I knew it was going to be a chance that if that it might happen. So when Mick rang me, understanding that it was going to be a tough decision for Mick to make, I just told him that I understood and I didn't do enough in the first game to warrant a call up the next week. until you smashed them the next week, and I thought, fuck, I could have played and done just as less.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but yeah, no, look, I fully understood the decision, and once again, you know, just got the training and being there as long as I was, and getting along and being close mate with most of the boys there. You know, I didn't want them to see me moping around and shitty and all that, because it would have impacted them. And you know, obviously, when you got a mate that's down, you sort of takes your focus off what was at hand. So I've just got to training and showed the boys that I was okay with the decision, and just got on with it pretty quickly, and just was the same. Just joked around and tried to do what I could to support the boys and get them ready for the game. And it must have worked. And fucking smashed them the next week. So disappointed I didn't play. My dad still does. I didn't give a shit about it once when they gave it to me the medal. I did get a premiership medal. It was in my bag and I forgot all about it. Didn't really give a shit about it, to be honest, because I didn't play and didn't always correct people when they say I'm a premiership player. And I'm not. I didn't fucking play in it. So I'm still a bit of a just disappointment, I suppose, that I didn't win one. I played in four and didn't win one. So, but Dad's got all my shit at home, like I mentioned before. So, I fully understood the decision and got on with it pretty quickly to make sure I supported the team and where I could to help them play better the next week, which is something that I've always tried to do, be team first and worry about the team and help where I could.
From Desired, first thoughts of Swanee when you met him?
It wasn't much. Sort of just like anyone that comes into the club, you sort of just try and, you know, build that relationship with them and see who they are as a person and what makes them tick and that kind of stuff. I knew pretty early that I had a mate down the back running with me. So we refer back to that a lot because that's where we was twice a year, three times sometimes. Yeah. We had to do the 2K time trial. So, he's just someone that, you know, Mick was great in getting the best out of his players and that. At first glance, you probably don't think much, but it's a perfect example of, you know, you don't have to be, you know, the silkiest player or the tallest player or the strongest. You know, you just got to get results. And I think, you know, with Swanee, you know, it was amazing to have a first row seat to his career and you know, be a part of it too. So a lot of people sort of ask me questions like, oh, is this like, who's that like? And when they ask me about, you know, Swanee, it's always just, he's just a normal person. Like, no, really give a fuck about footy, really. You know, just went out and enjoyed doing what he did, you know, which, you know, he can probably confirm right now. So it's just, yeah, just
he's not arguing,
it was just, yeah, just an everyday person that he just enjoyed going to get a kick, didn't get caught up in all the bullshit.
You know, that's all it was.
And that's all it is. Like, you know, like I get a lot of people, you know, I hate the extra attention just because I played footy. You know what I mean? It's like, there's more to life than footy. There's more to life than, you know, we got families and all that. And when you lose family, it puts it all into perspective. So for mine, it's, with yourself, man, it was just a normal person coming to have a kick, which I really enjoyed because, you know, a lot of, you know, I was the same. I just love playing footy. So.
From Wiley, what's the greatest, who is the greatest Indigenous player of all time?
Oh, is that for me or Swanee?
Yeah, well, you can go first. For me.
Goodsy stands out only because, you know, he was in sort of my era and I got to watch him play and compete against him. I think anyone that's played and anyone that's made the top level is a great achievement in itself. So it'd be rude not to, to acknowledge everyone that's played. You get players that stand out for certain reasons, but I always take it back to the generations before us that, you know, your Jimmy Crackers and that kind of stuff who went through the really, really hard times. You know, you see Jackson, those kind of guys. Everyone's played their part in some way, shape or form to have the game where it is today. Obviously, we still deal with a lot of issues in everyday life, not just on the footy oval. I don't like to separate the two. So for mine, it's you know, they've always, everyone's played a part in getting the game to where it is and getting the acknowledgement. But more so when times are a lot harder, I sort of pay a lot more respect to the older guys that played generations before us to pave the way for us to have the game we do today. So when I talk to young kids that play, it's always to acknowledge that. And that's Indigenous, non-Indigenous, have the game where it is today. Everyone's played a part that's played. But the question was, Indigenous players. So Goodsy stands out for me. Cyril, some of the stuff he's been able to do, but, you know, you take it further than footy and the hard work and, you know, in the communities and you know, to build a platform for us to be able to play on in a safer environment. I won't say safe environment. It's a safer one than what it was for them. So I always pay my respects and acknowledge every single player that played before I did and everyone that plays their part in making the game what it is, in a safe space for people to, safer space for people to come and, you know, for our mob and our community members to come and play and prosper in doing what they do.
Swanny?
For me, well, I can only go on my year or two, but Madge is probably the most skilled I've seen. The shit he did wasn't a fluke. He wouldn't train. He'd just sit in the pocket and kick torps and after the pocket and kick snaps. We'd all have to be training. Imagine just sitting in the corner just doing specials and stuff and just kick snaps from the boundary. So just kick it to himself, you know, pick it up off the deck and kick bananas and snap snaps. So it wasn't a fluke, but very similar to what he said. Goodsy and Buddy. Buddy's going to kick 1,000 and Goodsy's a freak, you know, two-time Brownlow medalist. Played every position, dominated. So them two are very, very hard to go past. And, like, I can only go off my era because I don't know the people before me because I never watched them and I wasn't a huge footy watcher growing up.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky to see him from the 80s, like I said, with Morris Rowley and Jimmy Cracker and Phil Cracker came over. But from a personal, because I barracked the Demons, Jeff Farmer was so good to watch. From Ben Smith, most famous person on each of your contact list. Dane can't say himself.
Most famous.
In your phone.
Come on.
Be honest.
I don't have any. Well, in Australia, I would probably be Eddie or Dustin, obviously. They're probably, you know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Who else? I don't know. I don't really know famous people.
Come on, Leon.
I got no one, mate. I've changed my number so much, it's not funny. So, it's a funny one, that too. Because Reece Shaw, he'd say, this is my 15th message to a different number. Is it you? My number so much. But as far as that, I don't know. Probably Ed. Ed's one that's been in my phone for a very long time, so he's probably the one that stands out. But other than that, yeah.
I think we're three. I'll throw it on.
From Chris, who'd win a 2K time trial these days? In other words, what's the fitness level now?
Yeah. I don't know. What kind of car you got? I ain't running it.
Get on a push bike. I don't think I could run 2K in a row without stopping.
Oh, it'd be very slow. So since meeting my partner, she's done the New York Marathon and that kind of stuff, so she's actually got me into running, surprisingly enough. So which I do enjoy now. It's not the fastest time, but I do get out and enjoy it. Just trying to blow up and get the big gut anymore.
We should have got her down to Collingwood. I reckon I could probably 8 minutes. Do you reckon you could get 8 minutes?
Seven, 8 minutes and 1 second. I'd come second.
probably nudge an eight.
Yeah.
All right, we'll finish with this one. This is a good one from Nico. And I'll get you to expand on it. Did Leon prefer playing up forward or down back? And what I'll get you to expand on, when Mick first told you to go down back out.
Okay, all right. It's a funny story, that one. We rocked up. I definitely preferred playing down back, only because it pissed John off so much. He played down there for, 10, 11 years. And I played one and got all Australian down there. And he tried to do that all his career, so he couldn't. And he was pretty pissed off about it. So that gave him pleasure in doing that to him. I definitely preferred playing down back. I enjoyed that season more so than any other one. Just to be able to, beat someone, a good forward one-on-one and have a good win after doing that. And, it was a good feeling to have that challenge each week and getting told early on that you wasn't allowed to leave the oval. Up forward, you can rotate as much as you want, But when we played down back, you're never to come on off unless you're told. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be absolutely fucked out of you now. To play down there and to learn a lot more in the mindset of the backline players that were down there, Heater, Maxi, and those kind of guys, just to learn that mindset at training. Even at training, they didn't want to lose, so they'd always go, really hard and try and stop the forward, which made them better. But that season, rocked up the pre-season. After missing out on playing in the replay grand final, rocked up pre-season. I nearly retired after that year. Had a couple of meetings with Walshy and Andy Crack came to this team, so that was a big reason I stayed that year. Rocked up the pre-season first day, and Mick goes, broke off into our groups. Forwards went one way, backs went the other way, obviously mids went the middle. And Mick said, oh, where are you going? Come here. And he goes, you're going that way. You're going to train with the backs. And I sort of just, And I kept walking towards the forward. And he made me go back to him. He goes, come here, come back. And I went back to him. I was like, yeah. And he goes, you're training with the back line. And I've just gone, you got me last year not playing me in the granny. Now you're going to, you're fucking around again. So I walked off to the forwards again. And then he called me back. He said, look. And then he changed his facial expression, what he does, and he just had his real serious face on. He said, look, you're going to train down back. We're going to play you off half back this year. Just work hard, train hard, learn what you can. He said, look, you're going to be fine down there. And I looked at him and I was like, is he actually fucking serious or is he taking a piss? Because look, like, so when he's like got that straight face, he's still taking a piss. You can't call it. You can't touch it. So I looked at him. I was like, okay, I'll, fucking call his bluff. So I walked off down there. I got about 20 and I've ducked it back around to go back to the forwards again. And he's going, no. He said, I'm dead serious. You're going to train. And then Scotty Waters come over and he goes, tell him, like, And he goes, we got you. And when Scotty Waters said it, I was like, okay, yep. I'll walk down. I reckon for a couple of weeks after that, I was like, what the fuck am I doing down here? Like, what have they got me doing here? And then, obviously he was just like, well, just do what I do. Don't man up and just run around the back for handballs. I can do that. So it was pretty funny at the start. I didn't believe Mick one second, but being the great coach he is and I thought he was before that year when really he should have put me down there fucking first year. Him being a good coach went out the window after that year because, you could have done this fucking 10 years ago.
That's how good a kick, man. I think Madge had like some insane stat the year he went down back. Like he, up until like the second last round of the year, every kick in went to a Collingwood player. It was like 22 weeks of the year or something like that. We'd retained the ball 100% of the time. Madge kicked out and then fucked it up with like a round to go or something like that. So I don't know how many times that is, 200 in a row or something. We kept the ball from Madge kicking the ball out. So that's a fair stat.
Good 99 of those I kicked for myself, though.
nothing wrong with that. You're really taking over what he did.
Still 100%. Nah. It was something that someone told me, and I was like, what? I was like, I didn't believe it. But, obviously, it's gotten around and that. So, but it's just, I really enjoyed that year. And, it took a lot of pressure off being up forward and creating your own kick and being the decoy for Big Travy and all that all the time. So, it's... It was a lot of pressure off and then obviously got a lot of pride about me. So coming up against, your Eddie Betzers and these kind of players that, are just gun forwards and then you got that challenge. So during the week, it's like you really focus in and I really did take my footy to a different level that year and I really focused in on who I had to play because you didn't want a bag get kicked on you, like that kind of stuff. So you knew that you had to be super fit. You had to be able to last the game out and, playing up forward, I knew a few little tricks that they used. So I could count on them before they did them. So that sort of helped me out a lot too.
Leon, this has been awesome. Before we wind up, I Swanee can say thank you too. Just one little bit of housework, Swanee. I did promise a racing tip. So race 4, number 3 at Moonee Valley tomorrow called Think and Fly. Probably the good thing in last is De Graves. It ran second to De Graves. If it brings what it did that day, it'll win, and it's $9. So always look for a bit of value for our punters. So race 4, number 3, Think and Fly. Swanee, do you want to thank?
Thanks, Rach. Yeah, thanks, Madge. Thanks for coming on. You're a very hard man to get a hold of. I'm very happy to see. So you've spoken more in this hour and a half than you did in your whole career. So, mate, much appreciated. Thanks for that. We'll have a bourbon when you, when you come back into town.
Definitely. Good to see you, man. Look after yourself. Look after you your too, family, buddy. Man. So, you too. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, happy to do this anytime, man. Look, yeah.
No worries, mate. Enjoy. Thanks, bub. Cheers.
Cheers,
see you, mate.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.